From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining with us for today's program. In just a few minutes, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue his studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The subject is the unspeakable sufferings of Christ, described by John Newton in one of his most blessed hymn texts as agony and blood. In seeking to convey that terrible scene from which even the noonday sun hid itself, Dr. Cairns traces the progression of the Savior's sacrifice from physical agony to spiritual conflict to divine judgment. The message will follow in a few minutes. First, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns declares that sexual orientation is not a civil rights issue.
Crystal Dixon was the Associate Vice President of Human Resources at the University of Toledo. That was until she wrote an opinion column for the April 18 issue of the Toledo Free Press, expressing the belief that sexual orientation is not a civil rights issue. In that column, Dixon was careful to say that she was not representing the university or its opinions. She said she was writing, quotes, as a black woman who happens to be an alumnus of the University of Toledo's graduate school, an employee, and a business owner. Her point was that sexual orientation is not an immutable characteristic such as race or sex, and therefore should not be afforded the same protection under civil rights laws. The university acted speedily against her. She was immediately placed on administrative leave, and a few days later, university president Lloyd Jacobs wrote his own column. He condemned his former employee's comments, asserting that Dixon's views do not accord with the values of the University of Toledo. He also pledged that the university would be taking action to align its policies with its own value system. That alignment meant that Dixon was fired. Apparently, the university removed her from her job in human resources and offered her another position, which she refused, and was immediately fired. Her lawyers are adamant that the firing was improper and possibly illegal. And according to Matt Barber, Policy Director for Cultural Issues at Concerned Women of America, it was an egregious violation. Barber went on to say, I think the University of Toledo has really betrayed their anti-Christian bigotry and intolerance. Just because many Christians have a viewpoint that is unpopular in leftist circles does not mean those leftists have a right to violate the law and discriminate against Christians. This case should concern us all. Crystal Dixon was fired for exercising her right to speak as a private citizen. The University of Toledo has censored her in the most brutal manner they could. They fired her. Could you imagine them firing a homosexual or a Muslim for giving their private opinions on this or almost any other subject? Not at all. Yet to discriminate against a professing Christian is perfectly acceptable with that school. We're reaching the place in America where the constitutional rights of Christians are being sacrificed to the gods of secular humanism and political correctness. It doesn't matter how obviously true the sentiments expressed may be if they contradict the spiel of the sodomite lobby. They're going to be punished. Currently, There's a big push on to curtail the freedom of radio, and it'll particularly impact Christian radio stations. If we're not vigilant, we will soon be told that we are barred from stating publicly what we believe to be true. So let us use our freedom while we have it and make it clear. Sexual orientation is not a civil rights issue. It's a matter of personal, moral preference or behavior. Last month, the secular media were agog with excitement because they could report that a man was expecting a baby. Of course, this man was a woman who wanted to be known and accepted as a man. Somehow she forgot she was a man and conceived a child. I pity the child. But to make that woman's desire to be accepted as a man a civil rights issue is just plain dishonest. No matter what the politically correct crowd at the University of Toledo or anywhere else say to the contrary.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
As it were, from the outside in, going ever more deeply into the very soul of the Lord Jesus in his sufferings at the cross. The New Testament leaves us in no doubt of the physical agony of the sufferings, but it doesn't describe them in much detail. It skips over them with rather strange and surprising brevity. Though the Old Testament prophecies do give us a lot of the details concerning those sufferings. But there was also spiritual conflict. Let's stay in Psalm 22, verse 12, verse 13. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and roaring lion. And as we have read in verse 16, dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I think that's probably, it's a difficult verse, I think it's probably better understood as a prayer, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the unicorn. And then starts, this is the pivotal point of the psalm, thou hast heard me. Now you've got the answer to Christ's prayer through the rest of the psalm. But I want you to see this. Here's a divine description of the wicked crowd of his enemies. We have read this morning how they stood around the cross. You see Jewish people. Now, let me make this point clearly to you. Jews get a very bad rap for being very mean and grasping. The truth is that in the history of the world, I don't think that there has ever been a people more giving
more caring about the poor and the needy. And so when you see these people standing at the cross, forget for a moment that they're dealing with their Messiah. Forget for a moment that they're dealing with the Christ of God. Forget for a moment that they're dealing with the very one who had wrought such miracles of goodness. You would imagine that in common humanity, you could hardly stand and see the worst murderer, the vilest criminal that you've ever come across. You could hardly stand there and see his quivering flesh in such agony and blood. Mock. But that's what they did. And then came the priests, those Sadducean priests, and the scribes. And they mocked, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Then he saved others. But he can't even save himself. He trusted in God. Let's see if God will have anything to do with him now. As he was enduring the pain and the shame, as he was being humiliated and mocked, even as he was lonely and forsaken and dying, he was constantly tempted. We read this morning, in verse 39, "They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." You said you could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Well then, let's see you come down from the cross. Isn't it always interesting in every age, whether you're dealing with Jews or Gentiles, isn't it always interesting that the ungodly want a Christ who is not a crucified Christ? Come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. The modernists today are saying the same thing. They don't like the blood. Well, neither did this crowd. But I want you to go beyond the crowd, because behind the crowd there's the hiss of the serpent. I can't ask you, for it would be fatuous and foolish. If it were any but Christ we were dealing with, I could ask you. But I can't ask you to try to put yourself in the position of the Savior even for a moment, for that's impossible. But I can ask you, try to understand the man Christ Jesus hung there to die, and all in the midst of his bodily weakness, for Paul tells us he was crucified in weakness. When he said his heart was melting within him, when his very bones turned to water, as it were, strength was gone. And he's being bombarded with all this mockery and all this reviling. Then there comes the serpent himself, for these are but his spokesmen. How powerfully active he is at the cross. I know that Satan was there. I know that Satan was tempting, because I'm told it was through death that Christ destroyed him that had the power of death. I'm told that it was in his cross that he triumphed over principalities and powers. It was not some paper tiger that Christ overcame at Calvary. Satan was there, more real than ever before. Behind the mockery of the crowd, there was the voice of the serpent. I can't begin to describe that tempting hiss. Come down from the cross. Can you not see this people whom you came to save will accept you if you come down from the cross? Show that you are God. Will the world ever again doubt that you are the Son of God? If only you come down from the cross. The Lord Jesus was engaged in a frightening spiritual conflict. Martin Luther described that. Said the rage of the furious devil is so great that the prophet, and he's now talking about the 22nd Psalm, to have represented it by a sharp sword, but introduces for the same purpose the tearings of raging, furious dogs, the mouth of greedy, hungry lions, and the dreadfully fierce wrath of the raging, terrible unicorn. In other words, when Christ is talking about dogs and bulls of Bashan and the furious lion, he's looking beyond the crowd and he's describing the inmost conflict of his soul. What a battle that was. Physically crushed. Spiritually wrestling with all the power of hell. But when men had done their very worst, they stepped aside, could do no more. And when devils had done their very worst, they also had to step aside. They could do no more. And then Christ entered into the deepest and the most awful agony of all. Isaiah says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He cried on the cross, fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Divine chastening, divine judgment. Paul put it this way: God made him to be sin for us. Only Martin Luther could say this, what I'm about to say. The other reformers, preachers, tended to be a little more reserved, and yet Luther hit the nail on the head. He said, Jesus Christ became the greatest liar, perjurer, thief, adulterer, and murderer that mankind has ever known. Not because he committed any of those sins, but because he was actually made sin for us. God made him to be sin for us. Not that Christ morally became a thief or a perjurer or a liar, an adulterer or a murderer. But he took all those sins of all his people. Think of the liars and the thieves and the adulterers and the murderers that Christ died for. Think of those whom he has saved. Such were some of you, says the apostle. Yet Christ died for you. Took your sin upon himself. God made him to be sin for us, so that he treated him judicially as the judge of all the earth. He treated Christ as the embodiment of all that was vile and all that was vicious. Legally, Christ stood in our place. But as I've tried to say on more than one occasion, there's even more than that to it. When we talk about Christ legally bearing our sins, you know, you can give the impression of something remote. But there's nothing remote here. The Lord Jesus was a real man. His was a real body. It was real flesh. It was real pain. It was real suffering. It was really bearing this awful shame. When God imputed our sin to him, it did not make Christ a sinner in himself. But I want you to understand this. It made him so personally responsible for every sin that he bore that he confessed it to God. You'll find this, for example, in the 40th Psalm. You'll find it in the 69th Psalm. Both of which belong to Christ. He confessed it to God as his own sin. He felt all its wickedness, though not contaminated by it. He felt all its vileness. His holy soul was filled with revulsion against the very filthiness and wickedness that he was bearing. The Lord Jesus, as he hung upon the cross, knew himself to be the just object of the wrath and the judgment of a holy God. What did he suffer? Physical agony. Spiritual conflict. Divine judgment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.